To start off our prayer service, we are going to look at Colossians 4, 2 through 4, and the prayer will be regarding some of the evangelistic efforts that are being supported here at Fayette. Real quickly, though, look through some of the people that we support, it's kind of maybe a call to action. We have no representative that goes to Australia currently. So that's the only inhabitable continent that we aren't participating in that I'm aware of. And if maybe so, we have Chase and Caleb, who are working in the Northeast, Harrisburg, Pennsylvania, and Brooklyn. We support Mohammed and Ottoman, who are in Sierra Leone, Africa. Mr. Carraza in Italy, so we have some Europe representatives there. We have a couple of others that Eddie Pagan that is in Paris. Wayne Galloway, we recently heard him come and speak to us about some of his efforts in South America. And then Alan, who goes to India. So just to name a few of the efforts of some of the evangelists that we support in various areas. That's not to diminish our responsibility to evangelize, but to bring to attention some of the work that we're doing or helping with. In Colossians 4, Paul says this in verse 2, "Continue steadfastly in prayer, being watchful in it with thanksgiving. At the same time, pray also for us, that God may open to us a door for the word, to declare the mystery of Christ, on account of which I am in prison, that I may make it clear, which is how I ought to speak." And so here we have this call for us as further participation in these efforts to be praying that God will open doors to people's hearts that they may receive the gospel. With that, we'll be led in prayer by Matt.
Okay, let's pray. Well, Lord, we're very thankful for this time. We can come together. We can study from your word on this day. We can think of your son who means everything to us. We believe that Jesus is your son, that he died for our sins, and that we can have a hope in heaven with you because of that. That is a masterful plan. It's not a plan we would have come up with, Lord, but you did. And you wish for us to believe in him and believe in you, and in the end, have eternal life with you. It is amazing to consider. And your plan is written in your word. And we're so thankful that we could study it and read it and consider it on this day. Lord, we want to come to you in prayer at this time. There are a few men that wish to approach your throne. You are God of heaven, and we are here on earth, lowly creatures, but created by you and given this opportunity. And the opportunity is only through Jesus, your Son. So we wish to take advantage of that and wish to recognize that you are in heaven, that we do approach your throne of grace and mercy, and that to speak to you is truly a privilege, but to recognize that you are the all-powerful, all-knowing, all-present God, and we approach you with humility. Thank you for this privilege. We're honored, O Lord, to be able to support certain men in efforts to preach your gospel, your good news, which is the word, the Bible. We're so thankful, so honored for that privilege. And, oh Lord, we wish to pray for them specifically. God, we recognize that anything specific that we pray for, you already know. You understand what's going on. You are all knowing, oh Lord. But in being specific, we recognize it shows concern. It shows care. And we wish to do that at this time. Please, O Lord, be with Chase Byers, Caleb Churchill, young men that wish to preach your gospel with vigor and energy. Give them strength, Lord, to do that, that in their youth they can do so with confidence, with boldness, perhaps more so than a man of age. But please guide them. Grant them what they need, O Lord. We have been privileged to support them financially, but, O Lord, you support them in all things. And you support them most importantly with hope, with salvation, with all the things pertaining to the very message that they preach. And that is so important. We wish to recognize it. Thank you, O Lord, for all of your support. O Lord, please be with Mohammed Massakoy, Ottoman Wealth, the men that are overseas. Please be with Arrigo Carazza. Please be with Eddie Pagan. These specific men we support, O Lord, but again, you are the main supporter. Thank you for them. Thank you for their hard work, their willingness to first work as if they're working for you. And that is a tall order. That is a tough task. You ask that of all of us, of us men, to work as if we're working for you. That's hard. But with your support, we can do it. Help us. Help them to preach the word in season and out of season. Please strengthen their wives to support them in this effort. They are so important in that process. Please help them, O Lord. Well, the main message, O Lord, is the gospel. It is good news, and we're so thankful for it. Please help these men in their efforts, all their efforts, as they try to get Bible studies, as they try to talk to people about Jesus and what he's done. Help them, O Lord, to have the confidence, even when they're turned down. Help them to gain strength from you, knowing that rejection is not the end, but to keep going, preaching your word. Thank you for all their efforts, O Lord. Thank you for this time to pray to you. Please hear our prayer and answer us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
I'd like to turn to Acts 8. Kind of in a similar vein, there's a specific evangelistic effort that we will be participating in here shortly. September 17th, 18th, and 19th is the Bible Forum that we will be having, and Greg Gravitt will be leading us in that. And I think the topic is A Good God in an Evil World, which is a very... I think a very well accepted reality, I think, for a lot, well, maybe not the good God portion, but as people look around at the world of different political ideologies, backgrounds, it's pretty easy for people to see evil in the world. So hopefully that will be something that people are interested in hearing about. And it's just one effort that we should be doing to try to reach out into the community. Acts 8, starting in verse 4, says this. Now those who were scattered went about preaching the word. Philip went down to the city of Samaria and proclaimed to them the Christ. And the crowds with one accord paid attention to what was being said by Philip when they heard him and saw the signs that he did. For unclean spirits crying out with a loud voice came out of many who had them, and many were paralyzed. Who were paralyzed or lame were healed. So there was much joy in that city. And that's what the gospel gives us the opportunity to do for the community, to reach out and heal the spiritual maladies that we all suffer from. And that's done through Christ. So at this time we'll have Jacob come up and lead a prayer specifically regarding our efforts with the Bible Forum.
Let's go before our Father's throne. Dear Heavenly Father, we come before your throne now, knowing that we are surely unworthy to be in your presence. For you are most worthy, O Lord, of all glory, honor, and praise. For you are the King of kings and the Lord of lords, all-powerful, almighty, all-seeing. And we thank you, O Lord, at this time so much for the salvation that we have through your Son, that he came down to this earth and taught us of you and died and was raised from death to life on our behalf, that we might have hope, Lord. That is our good news. That is the gospel that you have commanded us to bring to every tribe and every tongue and every nation, to make disciples, Lord. Lord, we ask that you would be with us as a congregation, that the people of this church would now and in this coming Bible forum be light, that we would reach out to everyone around us, Lord, with your good news, with your gospel. Lord, in preparation for this event, we ask that you would give us courage to speak to our neighbors, to our coworkers, to our friends, to anyone who might have ears to hear, that they might be exposed to your gospel, Lord, that they might see the joy of your salvation in us. Lord, we ask that you would be with our brother, Greg Gravett, as he comes as a messenger of your word, that you would bless him and be with him, that he would be effective in conveying your goodness and justice, O Lord, that all might know that you are a good and pure God, in spite of all the corruption we see in this world, that those souls in darkness might see your light. Lord, we ask that you would be with those who are in darkness, that the souls of the people in this city, the tens of thousands who do not know you, that they might be reached, O Lord, and that we as your people might strive to confront every one of them that we can with the truth of your gospel, Lord, that they might see your grace and your love, and then make a choice to follow or not, as is their free choice, Lord. Lord, we ask that in everything, in all our efforts for this forum, and in every action that we do in striving to reach those around us and shine your light, that your name would be glorified, that you would be praised, and that all nations and all people would know of your glory and of your salvation to all men. May your will be done, Lord. And may you truly be glorified in us. And it is in Jesus' holy and powerful name that we pray. Amen.
Please turn to Psalm 91. And here in just a second, Ray will come up and lead a prayer for a number of our members that have various physical ailments. And the challenge with physical ailments is they often lead to spiritual ailments. The discouragement, the frustration, the fear that these things can bring about can be very spiritually discouraging as well. And we have a God who takes care of our needs, whether that's physically or spiritually. He has our best interests in mind. And that's one of the sentiments we see here in Psalm 91. He who dwells in the shelter of the Most High will abide in the shadow of the Almighty. I will say to the Lord, my refuge and my fortress, my God in whom I trust. For he will deliver you from the snare of the fowler and from the deadly pestilence. He will cover you with his pinions, and under his wings you will find refuge. His faithfulness is a shield and a buckler. You will not fear the terror of the night, nor the arrow that flies by day, nor the pestilence that stalks in darkness, nor the destruction that wastes at noonday. Our God is a refuge, he's a fortress, and he's there for us to rely on. At the same time, we as a congregation have the obligation to one another to look after and to do our part in encouraging and uplifting and supporting, especially in spiritual endeavors and challenges, and we'll have a prayer for that in just a minute, but also in the physical, to take care of one another's needs. That was one of the main things that we see in Acts that the New Testament tells us New Testament Christians do, is they take care of each other. They look after each other. They provide for one another. And so we need to keep those things in mind as we think about those of us that are suffering physical illness. Pray.
I have a list, and it was easier to put it on a list and then pray for these people, because I don't think I could have remembered them all, to be honest with you. And some of these people, like Alex said, it's not just sickness so much as it's also some that I thought of on this list, that it's age, it's being by themselves, they've lost a loved one over the years. So, I mean, those people can also use our prayers. And to go by this list is Maxine Becknell. There's Charlie Becknell's sister, who had heart bypass surgery, which we announced a couple of weeks ago, I believe, or maybe it was even last week. There's Carmen Dillard, who has two sprained ankles. There's Tommy and Leslie Greer, who's suffering from chronic illness. There's Nellie Rollins, who's very courageous in her battle against cancer. Linda Thomas, Bob Barner's here, but don't forget Renee and the struggles she's had for a number of years. Then there's Lita Crawley. There's Melita Hill, Cindy Bradbury, Lummi Harris, and then Don and Jean Cannavello. I mean, these are all people that are getting up there in age and could use our prayers and thoughts, especially at this time. So shall we go in prayer? Dear God, Father in heaven, who's so great and powerful and wonderful, we come to thee in prayer for those that were mentioned. We know that you know the specifics of each of us in our lives. We pray that you comfort each one of these people, that you give them strength during this time, that if it's your will, that you heal them and bring them back to health completely. But above all, dear God, we ask that you give them strength and courage to see the truth, to see the ultimate goal, see that heaven is there for them if they can continue to fight the good fight, as Paul talks about in the New Testament. We continue to pray that we as Christians here, as those of us that have the ability and have the health and are physically able, that we could give them not only the physical support, but also the emotional and moral support to continue their fight. We're so thankful for the examples many of these people set for us, as someday we will experience the ravages of old age, of disease, and please give us that courage that they're showing to each of us. This prayer is offered in your Son's name. Amen.
You would turn to 1 Thessalonians 5, look at verses 14 and 15. I feel like this has been a passage I've heard and thought about a lot recently. And wouldn't be a a bad motto to have. Starting in verse 14, "And we urge you, brothers, admonish the idle, encourage the faint-hearted, help the weak, be patient with them all. See that no one repays anyone evil for evil, but always seeks to do good to one another and to everyone." As we think about some of the spiritual struggles that various members of our congregation are going through, and one of the things that we've talked about recently is God, through this passage, makes known to us that he's aware not every situation can be handled the same way. And even the same behavior has different motivations. I think that's a difficult challenge for us as individuals, because a lot of time when we look at something, I know I like to take sometimes the most direct course, what I think is, you know, the answer to a problem. And that answer may not be, or the route to get to that answer may not be the same for everyone. Some people need encouraged. Some people need a helping hand. Some people need rebuked. And one other passage that I was thinking about in this is Galatians 6, verse 2. It says, "Bear one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ." So at this time, Kevin will come forward to pray for the spiritual challenges that we face.
Before I begin to pray, I want to mention a couple more people that are on the list of people that need prayers for physical. The first one's Wayne Hayden. Wayne Hayden is he's from Nicholsville. He's a friend of the Gobles. He's also a friend of mine. He has pancreatic cancer. Let's remember him in our prayers. And also Joe Collins, who is an elder at the Paintsville Church of Christ, and he has been involved in an ATV accident, and he is going to have to undergo multiple surgeries due to that accident. So let's remember those two people in our prayers as well. Would you bow with me in prayer as we pray for those that are spiritually weak? Our most wonderful Father in heaven, we come to you in prayer this evening. Father, we recognize that the only way that we can obtain strength is through you and through your word. Before we pray for our members that don't attend and don't participate in services regularly, that are weak, Father, I ask you pray for me and also for others here, that when we think we're strong is when we're going to fail. Please let us, none of us, put our strength in ourselves, but only in you. Strengthen every one of us, because we all fall short of what you expect us to be, and forgive us for our sins and help us to overcome them. Father, we recognize that many of us are burdened by things of this world and it hurts our faith. We pray that you allow those to look to you for their strength, to encourage them so they'll know that they can find strength and salvation here, not with us, but with you. We pray that you will help them to see that even if they have physical and worldly problems, that those things can be overcome in heaven whenever we are with you. Father, we pray that you be with all of us, that we will reach out and encourage those people that are weak, that they will want to come back to you, that they'll be strengthened because they'll see our faith and they'll see that we care about them, and we'll see that we can reflect how you care about them through us. Father, we pray that we don't, as a congregation, not get along with one another so that we continually cause them to be discouraged, or people that are anyone that could be discouraged through our ability not to be in unity together, to worship together. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Our last prayer will be we'll be praying for the growth of the local body here. And the reading that we'll be looking at is Ephesians chapter 1, 15 to the end of the chapter. And one of the blessings that we have that the early disciples didn't have, and we talked about this briefly, is that we have God's Word. And, the idea that knowledge is power is I think appropriate as we think about what we have access to here. We have the power of God, which is the gospel, and we have so much more in terms of the revealed word of God than many of the first disciples had access to. And so what an advantage it is that we have this. But to know God, we have to know his word. So with that in mind, let's read Ephesians 1:15 through 23. This is Paul's prayer for the Ephesians. For this reason, because I have heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love toward all the saints, I do not cease to give thanks to you, for you, remembering you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you the spirit of wisdom and of revelation in the knowledge of him, having the eyes of your hearts enlightened, that you may know what is the hope to which he has called you, what are the riches of his glorious inheritance in the saints, and what is the immeasurable greatness of his power toward us who believe, according to the working of his great might that he worked in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly places, far above all rule and authority and power and dominion, and above every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in the one to come. And he put all things under his feet and gave him his head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all. And that last thought there is both humbling and kind of mind-blowing, that we, the body of Christ, are the fullness of Christ. He's able to fill all, and it's through us that occurs, which is very, that God would choose us as his messengers is a humbling thought. As we think about growing toward him, let's think about how we can do that together and pray for his help in that.
Let's pray. O Lord, our God, we stand before you in awesome wonder. We consider your design, which is perfect in every way. From the very beginning of time, when you laid out your plan for mankind, the thought that went into that, the love that went into that is just amazing. And yet we are very humbled by the thought that our choice was to disrupt the plan. And we did that by falling into sin. But what is so amazing is that your plan remained intact with Jesus Christ, in which through the cross and through the resurrection, you united all men to yourself. And part of this plan, being through and in Jesus Christ, is through local congregations. We acknowledge, God, that each local church has many members. And all the members, though many, are one. And so it is with Christ. Father, for us at Fayette, you arrange the members in the body as you choose. There are many parts to this group in this body here,
and our goal is growth in Christ. And for this to happen, there must be no division in the body, but we must have the same care for one another. If one member suffers, we all suffer together. If one member is honored, we rejoice together. We are part of the body of Christ, and because of that, individually, we are members of it. Therefore, we ask you, God, to help us to earnestly desire the higher gifts, which help us grow. May we learn to love. We understand that love is patient. Love is kind. Love never envies each other or boasts in anything but you. Love is never about being arrogant or rude. Love never insists on its own way. Is never irritable or resentful. It does not rejoice in wrongdoing, but rejoices with what is truth. And Lord, we therefore plead with you and ask you for help as we seek to bear all things, to believe all things, to hope all things, and to endure all things. May we love as Christ has loved us. And so we ask you to help us grow as a church that represents your image. And in order for us to reach our full potential, may each of us recognize your headship over all things to the church. You fill all in all. Our growth will only take place if it's focused on the cross. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Awkward transition here. Sid has the invitation, and then after that we'll have an invitation song, closing announcements.
I want to, just before the invitation, I want to say just a little bit more about our Bible Forum. It is taking place September 17th, 18th, and 19th, and Greg Gravitt will be talking about a good God and an evil world. These will be the subjects for the 3 nights of our Bible Forum. And basically, for those of you who maybe haven't been involved in this in the past, it's just a tent meeting in here. And so the whole point is to invite the community to come and hear the gospel. And the issue of can there be a good God in an evil world is probably the most popular argument made by atheists today to say there's no God. And Greg has been preparing his heart and mind to come and deal with this argument in a biblical way. And he's been working on that, and I've talked to him and told him that you guys have been praying for him, and so let's continue to do that. But I want to talk about another part of this effort very quickly. We're going to do some direct mail, and we're going to make print up flyers for people to hand out. But we also do a letter every year, and one of the things that I would like for you to start thinking about doing is start compiling a list of names and addresses of people you would like to invite. And here in a few weeks, we'll ask you to turn those in. There'll be a form for you to fill out. Of course, there's always a form, right? But we'll ask you to turn those names in. The letters will be printed up. The envelopes will be printed up, postage and everything, and you'll get the letter back, and all you have to do is put your John Hancock or Fred Jones or Susie Harper or whoever you happen to be on the bottom of that letter, and it'll be good to go. It'll be ready to send to your friend, your neighbor, your coworker, whatever. And so I would really encourage you to Start compiling a list. I won't embarrass the person by mentioning their name, but last year someone turned in about, I think, 140 names. They invited everybody in their subdivision and a bunch of other people too. And so I would sort of have that as a maybe a goal, something to inspire you to step it up. But I think this will be a wonderful opportunity to invite people to hear the gospel of Jesus Christ and hear it presented in a way that it addresses a concern that a lot of people have. And so I would encourage you to pray for this effort and to prepare to participate in this effort to preach the gospel. Now, for just a couple moments, I want to think about somebody who wrestled with the very problem that we're going to be talking about in the Bible form, and that is Habakkuk. If you would, turn in your Bibles to Habakkuk. Habakkuk was a prophet near the end of the time of Judah, the southern kingdom, close to the time of the Babylonian captivity. And Habakkuk looked around and he saw a lot in Judah that disappointed him profoundly. And he cried out to God about this. He said, "How long," in Habakkuk 1 and verse 2, "How long, O Lord, will I call for help and you will not hear? I cry out to you violence, yet you do not save. Why do you make me see iniquity and cause me to look on wickedness? Yes, destruction and violence are before me. Strife exists and contention arises. Therefore, the law is ignored and justice is never upheld. For the wicked surround the righteous. Therefore, justice comes out perverted." And so Habakkuk saw all this ungodliness and all this wickedness and all this disregard for God's law. And he cries out and he says, "God, when are you going to do something about this?" And God answers him. And he says, "I'm going to do something about this very shortly. I'm going to send the Babylonians." And Habakkuk says, "Are you kidding me? They're worse than we are. How could you send the Babylonians? They will destroy your people. This is an unmitigated disaster. Not this, anything but this." And God tells Habakkuk, "You're going to have to trust me." And there's a lot more to the book, a lot more we could look at. But I want to jump to the end, and I want to see Habakkuk's final response. Because he's going to go through a really hard time. He's going to have to suffer the judgment that is coming along with everyone else. And he says in Habakkuk 3 and verse 16, "I heard and my inward parts trembled. At the sound my lips quivered. Decay enters my bones, and in my place I tremble, because I must wait quietly for the day of distress, for the people to arise who will invade us." And then in verse 17 he says what I believe is one of the most profound statements of faith in all the Old Testament. He says, "Though the fig tree should not blossom, and there be no fruit on the vines, though the yield of the olive should fail, and the fields produce no food, though the flock should be cut off from the fold and there be no cattle in the stalls, yet I will exult in the Lord. I will rejoice in the God of my salvation. The Lord God is my strength, and he has made my feet like hinds' feet and makes me walk on my high places." And basically what Habakkuk says is, "I don't care how bad it gets. I don't care how hard it is. I don't care if everything is lost. as long as I have God, I have everything I need. And Habakkuk knew what Asaph came to realize in the 73rd Psalm, that in the midst of a wicked and vile world, in the midst of evil, there is a good God who will make things right and will save his people. And Habakkuk knew, so long as he had God, nothing else mattered. And that should give us all confidence and hope as we deal with a world that seems to be running away from God, turning its back on God. Blasphemy is found on every hand, and contempt for God is all around us. And that may at times overwhelm us. It overwhelmed Habakkuk. But in the end, he realized if he had God, he had everything. And without God, he had nothing. And I want to suggest to you tonight that nothing's changed since that time. If we have God, we have everything. And if we don't have God, we have nothing. And I want to suggest to you tonight that if you're not a Christian, if you're not a child of God, I don't know what your circumstances may be, but I want to suggest to you that without God, you have nothing. Don't go another moment without God. Turn to Him. He is your refuge and your salvation because of Jesus Christ. And so if you need to obey the gospel tonight, if you need to come to God through Jesus Christ, then we would encourage you to turn away from your sin, repent, confess Jesus as Lord, and be baptized. If you're a Christian and the weight and the difficulty and the challenges of the world have gotten on top of you, and that happens. It happened to Habakkuk. You need our help or encouragement. You need someone to stand with you and remind you that when you have God, you have everything. Then let us help you. Come now as we stand and as we sing.